Welcome to the Peace Apostolic Ministries podcast. For more information about Peace or other resources from John Alley, visit peace.org.au. If you would like to contribute financially to this ministry, you can do so at our website, peace.org.au/give, or use the donate button in our app. Thanks for joining with us today. We hope you enjoy the following message.
I've lost a few kilos. Hoping to find them next week. They'll be chasing me. Yes, I'm looking forward to that. Oh, it is just a fabulous time of the year, isn't it? Remembering Christ, remembering what the Lord has done for us, and I just love it. I've always loved it. I can still remember when I was a kid and getting the little carpenter's set. Anybody got a little carpenter set when they're a kid and you go out with a hammer and you bash? Yep, there you go. And the saw and, oh, I loved it. Thought it was fantastic. Still remember that. I think that's about the only premise that I can remember as a kid. Great stuff, though. All good stuff. And we're going to enjoy Christmas. Oh, what was I going to do? That's it. That's the message. That'll do for today. 10:30, we're going home early today. Yippee! Probably not. I'm still considering whether I'll read this first scripture, because John told me, he said, son, you better put something Christmassy in that. I said, yeah, righto. So, Jared, you want to whack that one up, mate? It's going to get somebody else. Who wants to read a scripture? Oh, no, you don't, do you? Does he always wants to read scripture, does he? It's not you, Noel. I want somebody who can't read. Oh, yes, you'll do. Come on. Yeah, you. Come and read this. Yeah. Have you got it up there, Jared? Yeah, here it is. It's right here in front of me. You got your glasses? Oh, read it off there then. Go ahead. Yeah, no, go right ahead. Yeah, go.
Can you hear me, everyone?
Oh, yeah, you want that.
We could just stand close.
This is the scripture, the Christmas scripture for today. And then I'm going on to something completely different. Not quite. It's sort of part of...
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
Has not.
You didn't see the word.
Right, okay. Next reader, please.
There was a man sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God.
Thank you. Well done. She made up a new word. Good stuff. And I practice all mine, so that was pretty good. All right. I have a question. You're not to yell out an answer, but I have a question. Here it comes. Is it easy to follow Jesus and do what he asks of us? That's my question this morning. Just in your head now, just close your eyes and think, Is it easy to follow Jesus and do what he asked of us? Is that an easy thing to do or not? Just consider it for a second. Do you find it easy being a believer, a Christian? Is that something that's just you're very relaxed about? You just fall into it. It's not hard. Well, I'm going to rip up a scripture, put up a scripture, Jared, and we're going to think about it for a little bit. Oh, I hope. Lord Jesus, just cause our minds to be open to this word right now, and just give us insight, all of us, even if I can't explain it very well, Lord, give us insight anyway. So, Jared, put up Matthew 11. He's done that, has he? Okay. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. And here's the verse that I really, 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 really wanted. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. So from that scripture, we assume that being a Christian is a piece of cake. Right? Just smile at me. Go on. Smile at me and nod. Yeah, it is. Now, it's not easy, because he does say you do have a yoke. That's no yoke. You do have a yoke. There's a Jared. Look at him. He's killing himself up the back. Can't help himself. You do have a yoke and you do have a burden. You do have both of those. And Jesus says you will have a burden and you will have a yoke. So it's, I don't know. It's like carrying around two bricks, I guess, as opposed to towing a truck. And apparently, at that time, that's what it was like. They were like towing trucks. You know why? You all know why, don't you? They had apparently something like 600 regulations and rules that they had to follow from the Pharisees. Could you imagine that many rules? Well, yeah, it'd be incredibly like knowing all the road rules, wouldn't it? Yeah, don't even think about that. But there is a yoke. There's some sort of yoke upon us, and there's some sort of burden upon us to follow Christ or be in Christ. But apparently it's easy and it's light. It's both these things. Jared, put up that next scripture for me. Because he only gave us, in actual fact, he only gave us two things to do. Two. That's it. You think you can remember two? You want to read it? Here we go. Dear friends, if your hearts do not condemn you, we have confidence before God and receive from him everything we ask because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. And here they are. And this is his command: to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. One. Two, to love one another as he commanded us to do. That's it. That is in actual fact all he commanded us to do. He didn't tell us to do anything else. Now, I know the Bible's full of stuff. You know that too. And I'm going to try to talk about that today. Jared, the next scripture. Oh, we're going pretty good. We'll be out of here by 1:45. No, we won't. Okay. So, your burden, which one was it? Your burden is easy or light? No, your burden's light and your yoke is easy, right? Is that right? Everybody say, your yoke is easy and your burden is light. One more time, your yoke is easy And my burden is light. Oh, that wasn't loud enough. Are you ready? Are you going to give me some encouragement? My yoke is easy. And my burden is light. Thank you. I'm getting encouraged. Keep coming. I know you're an Australian people and they say you're not very excitable, but here we go. James 1, 2 to 4. Consider it pure joy. Who knows this scripture? Who, without me going any further, place your hand in the air if you know this scripture. Put your hand up if you know this scripture. Come on, right up in the air. Put it right up in the air. Yeah, good percentage of you. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Something to look forward to. Because you know that testing of your faith produces perseverance, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So when he said your yoke is easy and your burden is light, that doesn't mean you're not going to have any burden, any trials and tests, does it? Everybody shake your head. I need audience participation to help me get through the day. Come on. Everybody do that. Yep. You are going to have trials and tests. And I've preached on this any number of times in the past. And I, you know, it's a wonderful piece of scripture. And I don't do it much, which is a terrible thing to say, but there you go. Who, again, I want you to come with me on this, who this very year has faced trials and tests, and some of them have been quite difficult. Let's see it. Who's done that? Quite difficult tests and trials. Nearly everybody in the Tavis twice. Nearly everybody here. You've faced trials and you've faced tests and you go through stuff. Who, oh, I love it, felt like it was Christmas. Thank you. Full of faith that, bro. I think he might be on the wrong track here. But nevertheless, let's go with him. Who sits there saying when the big trial comes along, you little ripper. Here it is. I've been waiting for this. I just love a good trial. I'm feeling like it's just going to be wonderful. I wish Jesus could give me more trials. So I could taste that pure, pure joy. I want more of that pure joy. So you will be all praying for more trials, will you not? You want the feeling of pure joy. You want the ecstasy that it brings. I'm just sitting here begging for another trial. Can't wait. I'm trying to get back on my notes, so not to get too lost. Do you dream? I wrote this down. Do you dream about trials that you might be able to go through? So you can get that pure joy. Do you, Dave? No. I've been doing a lot of that myself, actually. No. Oh, far out. I wrote down a couple of trials that we might want to get. You could think, maybe I could get sacked from my job for something I didn't do. And then I wrote, maybe some of you already actually want that. I'm kidding. Could the motor blow up on the car and cost me $10,000 or $20,000, which I don't have? Wouldn't that be a pure joy moment? Hey, Matthias, would that be a pure joy moment? Oh, who's had that? It's so annoying. I mean, it's so wonderful. It's such a blessing. Maybe a car crash. And then maybe Davey Allen could go past you and say, are you having fun? Only David and I would know what that means. David says that to everyone. Are you having fun yet? What about some family problems? Oh, we all love a good family problem. Some disobedient children breaking the boundaries and, oh, thank you for that trial, Lord. Give me another E. I want to sense it's laughable, isn't it? I want to sense that pure joy. I know this stuff because I've preached this stuff before. Could it be? Here we go. Let's get to the point. Could it be that we don't actually believe the scripture? If none of us really sense that pure joy, could it be that we don't actually believe what that's saying? That we don't actually think like that at all? We don't actually consider it pure joy at all. Does that follow to say that we are not sure about the rest of the scripture? The testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance moves on you on to maturity and being complete, not lacking anything. Now, I'm not saying it does. I'm just asking. I'm throwing the question out there. So you pray, Lord, maybe make me a mature Christian. Make me a mature Christian, Lord. Then the tests and the trials start coming out of the woodwork. You love it. I actually think if I asked you right now, if you were with me in this sermon, and you better be, because I'll be lonely otherwise. If you were with me in this sermon, if you actually believe that scripture, I reckon 100% of you would put your hands in the air. Do you believe that scripture? Of course you do. So what's the problem? Where's the pure joy? Something is missing, at least in part. And right now, I'm changing tack. I'll tell you what this message is about so you're not totally and absolutely confused. It's about faith, okay? It's about believing. It's about grasping a hold what God has for you and believing it. And I'm going to start with your salvation, okay? And we're going to move through a couple of things, or try to at the least. Jared put Romans 10:9-10 up. Jesus came to set us free, salvation, the wonderful and the best thing that has ever happened to you and me ever. If you have received it, if you haven't this morning, I'm going to preach you the gospel. How's it go? It goes exactly like this. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Okay. Do you remember a few weeks back, put on your memories, John talked about, he even swore in church, he talked about people getting saved, and he talked about one alcoholic bloke who said the sinner's prayer in his own wonderful, flowery way, and he got saved. Anybody remember that? Yeah? Yeah? And he talked about, you know, some people you work with and you talk to, and they know everything. They know about Christ. They understand what repentance is. They know the truth of repenting. They know the truth of receiving Jesus. They even pray the sinner's prayer, but they're not saved. You remember him saying that? I've seen that too. Probably every single person here has seen that. I've sat with guys, went through the whole thing, the gospel, because the gospel is the power unto salvation, right? Is the gospel the power unto salvation? It is, yes. And the gospel's pummeling them. It doesn't, and they hear it and they acknowledge it. Yes, 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 that's right. Intellectually, they see it, but they don't get it. This is my whole sermon. It doesn't go from here to here. It doesn't make it. Doesn't make it into their hearts. That bit there. For it is with your heart that you believe. It is not with your head that you believe. I don't exactly know what it is there. Your guts, your entrails, your whatever. It's this bit here that does the believing. And you're changed forever. And you actually know you're changed forever. You know that there's been a transaction. And you see people when you pray for them from time to time, and you just go through that, all that stuff that I just said, the power of the gospel, the sinner's prayer, the repentance and all that, and you know that it didn't go from there to there. You just know. Oh, how do I know? I was one of them. I grew up in church. Heard the gospel 1,000 times every week, probably. Intellectually, I knew lots. In my heart, I didn't know Jesus at all. Is that brought us down to earth, or it's pretty sobering, really. I've preached all that. I'm just catching up in my notes. Just hang on, because if I lose my place, we're going to be in all sorts of trouble. Yes. You heard of the term hard heart. You've heard of that term, haven't you? Everybody's heard of that term, a hard heart. Won't get in there. Won't go in. You know, I've been praying this week. This is just a little sidetrack. When I think there was 18, David? 18 pastors? 17, was it? 17 pastors met this week. It was phenomenal. And you get rather excited about, all these guys coming together, all these leaders coming together. And it's just amazing. And the more that happens, the more you just sense, something's going to happen in Rockhampton, unity of the body of Christ. And because of unity, the power comes. You know what I'm saying? Shake, please. Just give me a shake of the head. Go, yes. Louder. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, good Batley there. Yes, that's right. And Stuart Grimmins, the evangelist man, once told us when we were about to head off to the Philippines, he said, do you know Australia, that's my bestest Australian accent, our hardness level of reaching or hearing the gospel is about a 10. In the Philippines, it's about a what? They just got soft hearts. They just want to hear about Jesus and they want to respond. Whereas Aussies, we're a bit tough, a bit hard. We need chisels to get in there, crack them open, crack them hearts open to get it from up here. Oh, I don't doubt that just there are lots and lots of Aussies that believe or know about Jesus. I don't doubt that at all. We are well versed in the Bible. Oh, there'd be some that don't. But to go from there to there, it's a very long road to have heart belief. Now, I would love that to change. So I pray now, I start to pray, Lord, in this city, you can do this. Soften the hearts
of the unbelievers. Soften them up. Get them down to a number two, Lord. Soft and pliable. Make them clay, Lord, not steel. You know what I'm saying? Just go like this. Say, yes, Tony. For it is with your heart that you believe, not your head. You are not saved by knowing things in your intellect. It is the belief in the heart. It is the heart belief. Jared, put up Ephesians 3:19 for me, please, bud. Being persuaded in our hearts how much Christ loves us. Heart belief, oh, I can get it out of the road. Heart belief is faith, right? But I like this term because this dude in this book has been using it all week and I've been reading it. This dude is Ed Smith and he's Transformation Ministries, whatever. He's worldwide Christian psychologist and his teaching goes everywhere. And I've been reading this book and you're getting the little snippet of it. What does this say? And to know this love that surpasses knowledge. What does it surpass? Knowledge. That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. This heart belief actually surpasses knowledge. Heart belief surpasses knowledge. I have that written down here. It's the truth then. Now knowledge, don't get me wrong, knowledge is not bad. You need knowledge, you need to know, and there's even a scripture that says, my people are destroyed through lack of knowledge. Everybody say, my people are destroyed through lack of knowledge. I saw some people nodding off, that's why I did that. So keep with it. We've got a bit to go yet. My people are destroyed. So knowledge is good. Now, that was the first. Salvation was the first. I've done salvation. Yeah. Intellect to heart. Being filled with the Holy Spirit. I myself struggled with this. Who struggled when they got filled with the Holy Spirit? Seen people being baptized. They have heard the teaching. I take them from front to back on Acts. It's just so plain as the nose on your face that you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And those believers that were in Acts, they all got filled with the Holy Spirit. It's just right there. And some of them were believers and weren't filled with the Holy Spirit. I think that's Acts chapter 19. And then they got filled with the Holy Spirit. Hello, that's just Bible. But it's sometimes we know it. And then you pray, come on, let's pray for you to receive the Holy Spirit. And you just go, oh, hit a brick wall. Other times not. Sometimes people just whack, oh, I love that idea, straight on in there. Often it can be because of a simple lie, something like, I'm not good enough, so God wouldn't want to fill me with the Holy Spirit. Just a little simple lie like that. Which is opposite to what? Which is, what is it? Faith. It's opposite to the faith that you should have in this. It's just the negative of. Negative faith, if you like. All you got to do is believe a lie. And can I use my Australian colloquial and you're stuffed? It's true. Healing the sick. At the same time as I was baptized, at the same time I was baptized in the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues, which is all on one night and over 3 months, and I'm not going to explain that story. I received this prophecy that my heart belief would soon be revolutionized that same very night, all in one go. It was an amazing, wonderful, beautiful night. And I could believe. I had heard the teaching on being filled with the Holy Spirit, and then this word came, your faith will be revolutionized. So I went off to the School of the Power Evangelist with Stuart Grimmins. Went off, we did, him and me. We took our wives with us. It's always good. It was 3 months. And we learnt primarily about healing the sick. And again, I had a little problem with this. This little negative faith thing in it. Oh, yeah, I could see that. In fact, actually, before I went off to the school, I got filled with the Holy Spirit, and then here's the school, and there's this piece in the middle. You with me? And I was at just up the road here, actually, at a guy's house, and he was sick, very sick, and it was a Sunday afternoon. We'd just come out of church, and I thought, I can't pray for you. I don't heal the sick. What's that? I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. What's that? That's not the truth, is it? That's somewhere way, way from the truth. So I rang up the pastor and the pastor came over and prayed for him. The pastor, I sensed, was not amused. I won't tell you who it was. And later on, I guess I realized why that was the case. I had this little lie that said God wouldn't use me to heal people. God wouldn't use me to heal people. And at that school, I got piles and piles and piles of knowledge. Just loaded us up with knowledge. Loaded us up so much. And then I spent hours and hours and hours in prayer until it went from here to here that every time I lay a mitten on someone, I am a powerful battery filled with the Holy Spirit. You know the Stuart Grimmin stuff? You know it? I am a powerful, powerful battery and I can release power every time I lay hands on someone. Power goes out from me and if they have faith, they will receive it and something's going to transpire. I believe that. I took that on board. It went from there, it went to here, and I believed, I had heart belief that I could heal the sick. Well, let me rephrase that just a little bit. That Jesus, the Holy Spirit, could heal the sick through me. It just dropped in. Okay. Jared, Philippians 4:19. So we've done salvation. We've done being baptized in the Holy Spirit. We've done healing the sick. We're going to just do a quick next one, which is finances. My God will meet all my needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. This is just a quick beside. Who sat at their kitchen table with their budget in hand and said, I have no clue how we're going to pay this next lot of bills? Anybody? Anybody ever had that? Surely there's... Yeah. Yeah, I remember I had this car when I was going through Bible college that had no tyres on it. Well, it had tyres, but they weren't real. They were sort of nothing left, sort of like Chase... No, don't say that. Oh, where is that fella? You can get me later. Yes, it was terrible. I had no clue where that money was going to come from. Absolutely none. And of course, I wasn't worried about it at all, was I? Yes, I was. I was slightly concerned because I didn't believe that. He will supply all your needs. In fact, that actually, does it say it there? Yeah, according to his riches and glory. How rich is Jesus? Anybody? He's loaded, eh? He's pretty much loaded. He's got it all. And what do you got out of that? You're according to his riches and glory. You got a fair bit. You're loaded, people. And do we sit there worrying about our finances? You bet we do from time to time. Why? Because that piece of scripture hasn't gone from there to there. Because we're in actual unbelief. Or we believe that, and we believe some other lie. this time. I got my tyres, by the way. They were all given to me. And the guy didn't even know about it. Yeah. See, there are little lies inside of us. I actually recall a lie one woman believed. There is never enough. There is never enough. That was her belief. What she had more than you could want, but there is never enough. We're not going to quite make it. Are you getting the point of my message? Are we getting anywhere near? It's not going from here to here. And what do you do about it? The fruit of the Spirit. Let's talk about Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness and self-control. Let's all say it together. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness and self-control. Good on you. I want to talk about the same thing involving that, going from here to here, but let me just say this before I get to that. Heart belief, faith, right? Same thing, right? But I've been using heart belief because I love the way he puts it in this book. What is faith? And I can't pronounce this word, so David Alley, help me. You're a Greek student, aren't you, brother? Here it is. P-E-I-T-H-O. P-E-I. Somebody pronounce it for me. Oh, that's handy. What do they do? Oh, blah, blah. Can you believe that? Well, there you go. Well, I'm just going to make my own up. Hey? How about that? Peso. Pi. Pytho. Pi. Pytho. Pytho. Okay, good. Let's get on with it. Pytho, the Greek word for faith. Well, it's the base Greek word for faith. There are other words for faith. I guess it's a bit like love. There's a thousand words for love or whatever, but this is the base, the bottom, pytho, the Greek word faith, is this. What happens when God persuades us of the truth within our hearts? Pytho. Let me say it again. Faith is what happens when God... The word means persuade. The actual word means persuade. So I'm going to go down here and persuade my brother that it's good to go four-wheel driving. That's all it is. It's persuading them. And God is in the business of persuading you and me into the truth that's in here. The gospel, being filled with the Spirit, healing the sick, knowing all the truth, working in the fruit, all that stuff. He's in the business of persuading you and me in the truth in our heart, not in our intellect, in our heart. Taking it from here. And here's a scripture that you'll all love, Hebrews 11:6. We'll come back to that. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe and he exists, that he exists, and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So if you've got no faith, it's absolutely impossible to please God. That's right in your face, everyone. So in everything you do, so in other words, when I call up that pastor, not only was the pastor not amused at me, God was not amused at me too, that I didn't realize that I had the power inside of me to pray for that dude. I'm sure he still loved me. But it is impossible to please God without faith. Listen, we don't do the fruit. What do? We don't go out and do love, joy, peace, patience, long suffering. We don't go. I'm going out today and I'm going to do some love. I'm going to do some patience. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I won't talk about it. I'm a gunner. I love it. Just give me a minute. No, we bear fruit. How do we bear fruit? Can I read something out of the book? Is that okay with everyone? He puts things really well, and it's really quite an interesting book. I wrote this down, but because we possess faith, we possess it, or heart belief in Jesus Christ, we walk in the truth, and the fruit come naturally, without struggle. Here it is. Here's the scripture. Here's the scripture. The scripture according to Ed Smith. When God persuades us of the truth in our hearts, we believe. This belief is our faith. It is because of this faith that we were made right with God, Romans 10:10. It is this same persuasion of the truth that is in our continual victory. Since this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Only God can bring about this persuasion. Nobody, not even ourselves, can persuade us of the truth within our hearts. See, God has to do this. We can be persuaded intellectually by others, but no one can persuade us of the truth in our hearts other than the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. In other words, you can't do... Look at that. I've gone for 40 minutes. That is a miracle, everyone. And I've got 40 more minutes of words to do here. Look at the heads drop. You've got a football team that just got scored against. Terrible. I don't blame you. I'll wrap it up. Here we go. Let's just mention for a second willpower, and I'll wrap this up. Willpower, or won't power. The fruit of the Spirit is not a to-do list. And willpower we all possess. Some of us possess it more than others. Don't you? You really good people. You. Yeah, I'm a bit lacking on the willpower side sometimes. Which actually is not a bad thing. Maybe. Here's the thought. I will do this. This is what goes through your brain. Today, I'm willing myself to do love, joy, peace, patience. I'm going to will myself to do it. That's like that burden we were talking about before. We just hooked up a semi-trailer. I will. I'm gonna. No stopping me. And then you fall apart. I won't, Jared put up. Oh, maybe I didn't write it down for you, bud. Did I write it down for you? Galatians, the bit before Galatians. Oh, no, Galatians 5:19. Put that down. Put that up, not down. I won't do this. The acts of the flesh are obvious, sexual immorality, impurity, keep going, and debauchery, keep going. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition. Oh, what is that? Dissensions, factions. All that good stuff. The envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you. He warned you. I won't do that. Hook that up. Bang. Let's go. Impossible. You can't do anything without Jesus' heart. You will fail. I will fail every time. Like, if you've got problems in you, if you've got an anger issue, and you said, I will not get angry anymore, you've already failed. It's got to go from up here down to here, and it's got to be done by Jesus. How do you do it? Well, you might have to spend some time seeking him, finding out if you even got a lie that's hidden with inside of you that is telling you rubbish, that stops you from not getting angry at your husband or your wife or the kids or the dog or whatever. I will not slander or gossip. Oh, no. Throw yourself on Jesus. I will not watch inappropriate TV or internet. No, throw yourself on Jesus. It's just like hooking up another whole bunch of rules and regulations like the Pharisees gave and saying, here, follow all this. He didn't say that. He said, here, follow me. Faith in me. Believe me. That's not saying, I'm not giving you free rein to go out and go berserk. All right? I'm not doing that. What I'm saying is, grasp a hold of Jesus, the Word, and get it from here to here so that it changes you internally forever and ever. And you have no doubt that you're saved, you're born again, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you can heal the sick. You don't have to do the fruit of the Spirit. You just bear the fruit of the Spirit. You don't have to worry about any of that stuff because you're walking in Jesus. And if a pastor ever says to you, try harder, give him a big kiss and move on. Don't try harder. I think I said it once before, don't try harder. Die harder. Okay, I'm done. One last little excerpt from the book. Oh, dare I read it? When I was a child, we used to sing the old hymn, Trust and Obey. The words declared, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. As much as I still love that old song, there is yet something more needed. Blind obedience alone will only carry us so far. It also makes us for worn out, weary followers of Christ. Too often, we expend great efforts in trying to do the truth while not believing it. Because most believers hold much knowledge of the scriptures, they know what is expected of them. However, doing the truth that they know is often a struggle. However, when we know the truth with the heart, trust, works, forgiveness, all the other things are all a natural and expected outcome and requires no effort to do or maintain. Knowing the truth with the heart produces good works, which are an expression of the fruit of the Spirit. That's it. Still awake? Can I pray? Band, you want to come up? We'll sing a song and go home. Father, help us. We need your help. We can't do it, Lord. We're unable. We just hook up truckloads of burdens and more problems and big yokes and, Lord God, no good for us. All we want to do is believe you, rest in you, have faith in you, get it into our hearts, Lord. Help us to get it into our hearts that you are the only way. You are the one who lifts burdens, takes burdens away, carries them off. You did it on the cross, Lord. It's already done. If only we would believe. Lord, help us. Help us to believe. Help us to grasp hold of you again and again and again until we have it from our head to our heart. Do it within us. We look to you, Lord Jesus, for wonderful outcomes. Lord, I pray your grace and your blessing over every person here this Christmas period. You would bless them, Lord. You would give them faith. You would give them heart belief like they've never experienced it before, and their yoke would be light and their burden would be easy. And bless them. Amen. Amen.